on to the wrong time. Ain't nobody trying to correct me, boy. Ain't that something? Oh, y'all gonna get it tonight, though. What time it start? So I'm 2 minutes late, you're telling me, all right. Now, Father, thank you. Amen. I need to try them quick prayers sometimes. I'm going to show you our quick prayer tonight. We'll be praying all along and missing God's will. We'll be praying everything but what we're supposed to pray. We pray all over the world and all over the Bible and miss the will of God. All right, so Ephesians 5, verse 17. We'll just go to it and see what the Holy Ghost is going to do with us. All right, verse 17. You've read the scripture before, and some of us, you know, we read over the scripture before, but I just want to park on it for a minute and really see what's going on. You know, I've been really strong about this thing a lot lately. That it ain't got nothing to do with you. This has nothing to do with you. I'm gonna keep saying it so we can understand what's really going on, and then maybe God's will can function in us better. It's not about us. Come on, say it's not about me. Come on, say, I don't know if you think your trip on this side is really about you. You know, I said trip on this side. You know, we're going home to our original home. We go home to glory, but it's not time yet because you're still here, right? But this trip on this side, it wasn't for you to have a trip. Like, this wasn't, I don't know what we think this is. We thought God sent us down here and then go ahead and live it up. Then you're going to come back home. Oh, this is a good one. Are we living? Oh, that's a good one. This is a good one. This trip away from home, are we living it like a mission trip, or are we living it like the prodigal? Think about what I'm saying. Is your life the mission or the prodigal? You know, the prodigal wanted all that he had and wanted to leave and go to live wild and going to do everything he wanted to do. Right? Right? But a mission, you go on a mission trip, it's totally different. It ain't about you. So this trip on this side, what you living? You away from home? What kind of trip you living? It's another message. Whose will is getting accomplished here? You know, day by day, and your minute by minute, whose will is getting accomplished here? Let's think about it for a minute. Verse 17, you look at it. Y'all read together, ready to read. Read it again. Read it again. I like reading stuff over and over again. Read it again. I read it again, and I want you to read it and think about what you're saying. Read it. So he's telling you, don't be unwise. And we can read the context before, and you can read the context before and after. It's a beautiful thing to do when you're studying. Read to see what led up to this and what's going on after this. A few scriptures up you're talking about, because you once were in the darkness, but now walk as ye are in the light. All right, then it says, so that you can prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. It starts talking about that. Prove what's acceptable unto the Lord. All right, and then he's talking about, the beginning of the verse, talking about living a certain way, and don't live this way, and don't act like this, don't talk like them, don't be the certain way. But he says, be ye not unwise. Don't be unwise, but understand. Everybody say understand. Understand. You know, the scripture says, in all thy getting, get what? Understanding. All right, so in all that you get, you need to get some understanding. If you don't get no understanding, you ain't got nothing. We're talking about studying the word now. All right, stick with me. This ain't no other message. We're talking about studying the word of God. If you read that word and you read that word this morning, but you ain't got no understanding, you ain't really got nothing. You wasted your time. Not that getting. Get understanding. So be not unwise, but understand. Understand what? So you understand what the will of the Lord is. Right? So not nothing else, not other stuff. Be not unwise, So then my flip-flop is just a good preaching method. The apostle showed me this when I was younger. He said, that's how you can yield out the scripture. It's not even good preaching method, but just learn it. You can yield out the scripture by flip-flop. Right? You flip-flop, you turn around. So now what you're saying is, be not unwise. He said, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So you're telling me, if I don't understand what the will of the Lord is, then I'm not wise? Or it's a possibility that I can be unwise and not understand what the will of the Lord is and still be reading these scriptures. All right, now remember, when you see Ephesians and Corinthians and Philippians and all these different ENs, he's talking to, these are letters to the church, these people like us. So when you read, there's a church at Ephesus. So he's not writing to the sinners, he's writing to the church, he's telling you. So I mean, it's a problem, you church people can be unwise. You people that's going to church, they're part of the church at Ephesus. Right? But that means it's a possibility you go to church and be unwise. It's a possibility that you can be going through all the motions and be unwise. Why? Because you don't know what the will of the Father is. Now, let me deal with your prayer time, your meditation time. I think living by the book, we can't really talk about living by the book without the whole process of meditation and prayer. I mean, it all goes together. So you can't really talk about living by, now we'll be service if we don't add in the praying and our devotion time, all right? Devotion time, all right. All right, Holy Ghost, let me. Acts chapter 17, you have to go there right now, but Acts chapter 17, you can write down Acts chapter 17, verse 22, and I had a chance to talk about this in church yesterday, but I'm going to deal with it a little bit. Paul starts talking, he says he's in Mars Hill, and he stands up and says, I perceive that you are in all things, you people of Athens, you men of Athens, are in all things too superstitious. We think superstition is, I said last, don't put your purse on the floor. You ever heard that before? I don't see the purse on the floor because you're going to end up being broke, right? Right? Don't. What's some other ones? They got some other ones you done heard coming up. Just different little crazy stuff, right? They call it superstition. Yeah. That's a new one. I never heard that, but that's a new one. Wow, that's a new one. I done learned something today. Don't let the chair keep rocking. Boy, I done broke all them rules. Boy, I done get up and look at that chair rocking and rock on. Ain't nothing happened to me, though, so I'm good. All right, we see that as superstition, right? But could it possibly be that you superstitious? Uh-oh. I ain't never let no chair keep rocking. No. You come to church. Worshiping the Lord. Could you be doing that superstitiously? Look up the definition of superstition, and I really don't, but I'm just paraphrasing a little bit. One of the main things about superstition is you keep going through rituals and keep doing something with no evidence of what you're doing. It's like talking about being ignorant. You don't really know what's going on. You know, how often we come to church and we do the same thing over again, but no results show up in our lives? Could it possibly be we're being superstitious? Gut check. Me too. Gut check. Maybe we're not being supernatural and being superstitious. In the next scripture, after that, verse 23, he says, "For I passed by and I saw your devotions." I saw y'all church services. I saw you standing out there praying. I saw what you was doing. He said, then I looked on the altar and saw an inscription. Look on the altar. You know, the Bible talks about the altar, your heart. I ain't getting there. But so I looked upon you. I read you. And the inscription says, to the unknown God, whom you ignorantly worship. So now the scripture telling me not that I could possibly ignorantly be worshiping. You know, worship is either negative nor positive. It's all about the charge that your heart gives it. We don't understand about the charge of our heart. The charge, you know, the positive or negative charge, the charge that our heart gives a certain thing. You know, faith is neither negative or positive neither. It's all about, you can have faith in something negative and make negative things happen to you. So it's not that the faith is negative, but you were negative in your faith. So now worship. Because they say they worship the idols in the Bible. Didn't they? That scripture just says they ignorantly worshiped. So it's a possibility that I could be worshiping ignorantly. I could be worshiping a God that I don't know. Now, we get spiritual and quote our things. I know God. How I know? I know the Lord. How I know? Because I know the scriptures. Now, that's not enough for me. I know the Lord. How do I know? How do they know you know the Lord? If there's no evidence, you're just superstitious. Let me tell you why people, so our witness, it turns into be promoting superstition. What we call witnessing. Because if there's no evidence, it's superstition. Listen to me. If there's no evidence, it's superstition. If there's no evidence, you're trying to get me to believe in something that ain't really there. You're trying to get me to be mystical. Are y'all with me? If there's no evidence, you're trying. So that's why you ever heard people say, yeah, I believe in God, but I'm not religious. You ever heard them say that before? They're trying to be deep. And they're really trying to just kind of shun you because they already got their feelings about what they feel about. I believe in God. I believe in something bigger than me, but I'm not religious. What they're trying to say is that they're not really into being superstitious. Now let that person be in a wheelchair. Let them be on some crutches. Let them be in a situation where they don't have what they need to have. Let them be in a point where they have confusion. And then your witness. Don't quote John 3:16 right now. Don't quote Romans 10:9-10 right now. Don't quote that right now. No. They don't need that. They don't understand that language right now. That's not the thing that they need. You go follow Jesus and pay attention to Jesus' word. Talks about Jesus' life. You go follow Jesus. Jesus will meet the needs of the people. Then he said, "Go and sin no more." Many times he led off with the sign and then started talking about it. You know, in the original Hebrew, you know, it said the word was made flesh. We did that in the class a little while ago. In the original Hebrew, it translates the teachings. God's teachings were made flesh. His teachings, like what he's teaching us was what his teaching is, what he's teaching us was made flesh in Jesus. So now Jesus was teaching and living it. Jesus would also be like, trust the Lord and things will happen. And then he made something happen. That's what he was doing. Right? So back to the evidence. Minister to them and let things change in their life and let them come back and ask you what's going on. Stop quoting all them scriptures to people. With no life. Certain scriptures ain't anything you like, but they testify to me, but you won't come to me. They don't need to meet your scriptures. They don't really need to meet you. They need to meet Jesus in you. So who people meet? Good question, right? Good question. I always say this stuff to challenge us so we can challenge our mind so when we're approaching different things, we'll know. Because if there's no evidence, it's superstition. If there's no evidence, you're telling me a fairy tale. Come on, let's be honest. If there's no evidence, then you're just telling me a cool little story. And you want me to believe your little story. Because you said it's your story. Because you said it's true. Well, who are you? Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you? Seven sons of the sea, we read that today. I read it in my reading today. Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you? Y'all realize the people don't even know you? Y'all ever thought about that? They don't know you. So unless the power of God shows up, or the endowment of the love of God shows up, yeah, or there's a special anointing that shows up when you're doing what you're doing, ain't going to be no change. This is why they can refuse Jesus. They're not really refusing Jesus. They're refusing you because Jesus wasn't with you. To the unknown God. You're superstitious. I see your devotion, but it's to the unknown God. How do I know you don't know him? Because there ain't no evidence. You can't know. How do you know God and not have evidence? So your devotion. So now back over to Ephesians 5, verse 17 says, "Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. All that stuff goes together. Be not unwise, but understand the will of God. Don't just be doing all this stuff, but you need to understand. You need to understand what the will of the Lord is. All right. When you're approaching this word, you need to find out, God, what's your will? I've been on this thing, you know, it's not about us. It's not about you. It's about others. When I approach, I need to be thinking, why am I here? What am I doing this for? How much of my life is for others and how much of it is for me? Because the part that's for you, you're responsible for. Which is why you ain't got enough there. which is why it don't work out in that area. Because it's yours. That's the part that you still own. You know, my life is not my own. You know the song and the favorite song, my life is not my own. You know, I'm crucified with Christ. You give up your life. You're supposed to give up your life. That's a scary thing, man. It's all or nothing. It gets scary because now it's almost like, what I'm going to have? What I'm going to do? If I give my breath away, how I'm going to breathe? If I give away my blood, what's going to be running through my veins? It gets to be a scary thing because now we get to, Lord, if you can't, let this cup pass from me. Did you remember that? Lord, if you can't, let this cup pass from me. If you can't, do it another way. But what did he say after that? Nevertheless, not what? But whose will? Thy will be. Now, if you really read about Jesus, thy will, your will, the will of my Father, that's really what he talked about. I don't really think he said, if I testify of myself, my witness is not true. It's Jesus talking about that. Well, you know, that sounds like, I would have been okay with him testifying of himself being Jesus, right? But he said, if I testify of myself, my witness is not true. Jesus always said, when you pray out this man, our Father will never, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. All right. I'll just make sure I'm about to go. I'll start flipping over chairs. What is going on? I'm about to get crazy up here, boy. Right? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Huh? I don't do what I do the will of the Father, will of my Father who sent me. Over and over he says that. Over and over he said that. His will. When you approach his word, whose will are you looking for? We have a very self-indulged gospel. In 2014, and it's just not this year. It didn't start this year, but it's been a long time. We have a very we have an internalized and self-proclaimed and self-focused gospel. And it's because I got rights. I got rights in the name of Jesus, right? Because you know we got faith. We can speak it and it'll become right. And but we got so caught up on that, you can make a request. Philippians 4 says, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You know, so you have not because you what? So I could ask. If a man asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? It's Bible now. Come on. If he asks for a piece of bread, will he give him a rock? Right? You have whatsoever you ask for. And this is confident that if we ask anything according to his will, all right, that's different now than just asking what you want to ask. If we ask anything according to his will, everybody say his will. Come on, say his will. When I approach his word, I got to be looking for his will. Not what, we pray this prayer, God, what's your will for my life? But that ain't got nothing to do with you. We pray that prayer like he don't know it's you. So we add my life, but we end up being selfish. Lord, show me my purpose. Lord, show me my, that sounds like a good prayer, don't it? It sounds like that's the one I need to pray. Show me my purpose, Lord. Who that's about? Who is that sentence about? Now I got to say that because it's a little small stuff. The Bible says small fox, small vine. There's not a little small stuff like that we do, and we don't even understand we're missing it right there, and we're breeding selfishness in our own prayers. We're breeding self. Lord, show me my purpose. You ain't got no purpose. You ever thought about that? So be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Could it be possible, make your request made known unto God? All right, so I can make a request to God. You know, the children of Israel is asking for a king. He said, you don't need no king. Let me keep leading you by my prophet. No, but we want a king. You don't need no king. Let me lead you by my prophet. No, but we want a king, because we want a king. All right. Take your king and then mess him up. Could it be possible that we asking for the wrong stuff? Why were the former days of Scripture? Why were the former days greater than these? Then he said, but thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. You're not asking the right thing. You're not asking the right question. Could it possibly be that when we make our request, we're making the wrong request? You remember when Solomon took over the kingdom? And then he did the offerings and made all, because, you know, people don't realize that they thought he was just so deep. No, Solomon was a young man. He was about 14 or 15 years old. He was a very young man. You didn't know that, huh? He was a boy that had to run the kingdom. So he, come on. If I'm 14, 15, I got to run this kingdom. I'm not thinking about nothing else. Lord, you know. Lord, thou knowest. The Bible said that a lot of people ask the Lord, Lord, you know what you say. You know. So God come to the dream and say, what you want? You could ask for a lot of different stuff. He showed up in your dream tonight. What you asking for? We're going to be deep now because after this class. But if he show up tonight, what are we asking for? Lord, send me my this. Send me my this. And he'll send it to you too. And that'll be it. He said, Lord, give me wisdom to lead your people. And also because you asked for that and you didn't ask for other things, because wisdom causes all the other things. You realize when he asked for wisdom, Lord, give me your wisdom. Give me wisdom. He was asking God, I just want to be constantly in contact with your mind. Now, where does losing happen when you're constantly in contact with the mind of God? Ain't no losing in that, huh? So now all that other stuff, all these things, right? Well, how much things we've been asking for? Is it possible that we're asking the wrong thing? When we approach the word, when we're reading, is it possible that we're asking the wrong thing when we get there? Is it possible that we're approaching God the wrong way? Is it possible that maybe not the wrong request, but you're just not making the right one? Maybe it's not that you're wrong, like you're in sin in that request, but maybe it's the fact that you're not asking the best question that you could ask, or you're not making the best request that you could make. You know, the good, the acceptable, but then the perfect will of God. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, but perfect. Now you put all three of them in front of me, I'm gonna choose perfect all day long. I'm trying to shoot for perfect. I can't. You put three basketball rims right there. One is 4 points, 10 points, 100 points. Y'all ever play the skee ball? Every time I play skee ball, I'm going for the 500. I'm going for the 500, 1,000 up at the top. I'm going for that every time. When I play, you find people's personality by how they do that. I'm going for that every time. I don't want I just do the 100. I'm not built like that. I'm shooting. You realize when you shoot for the 500, sometimes it falls to the 100. So you're going to get the 100 automatically just by playing. I ain't got to focus on the 100. We good, acceptable, perfect will. You put all three of them in front of me. I'm trying to get the perfect, because perfect has to do with purpose. That means purpose is being fulfilled. Perfection has to do with maturity. So I'm looking for that one. I don't want to just be good. Good is good, but good is just good. And what if you know, the person in your life told you, well, you acceptable? I'll accept you. Ooh, you be ready to fight out. I'll accept. How many of y'all married in here? How many of y'all married in here? How many of y'all married? Yeah, I'll accept you. You start popping them fingers. What do you mean you accept me? What do you mean by that? Right? But you good. You a good man. Right? And we'll take that. You a good woman. You an acceptable man. You acceptable. Ooh, y'all like good better than acceptable, don't you? But then you start talking about you're perfect. Get the shouting in, the Holy Ghost. Ooh. Right? I'm shooting for the perfect every time. I'm shooting for the perfect every time, right? Right, right? Are we shooting for perfection or not? Why are we shooting for mediocre? Why are we shooting for regular? Why do we do this? Hold on. Why do we do this with God? Why do we shoot for the bare minimum? Why do we keep rolling for 100? He much bigger than your 100. You can get 100 with your eyes closed by accident. Stop shooting for that easy stuff. Good, acceptable. No. As far as I'm concerned, them other two don't even exist. I'm not even, I know it's the word of God. I ain't trying to take nothing out the word of God. But when I'm reading, that I may prove what is that perfect will of God. Because that's what I'm shooting for. I'm understanding what the will of the Lord is. And understand what the will of the Lord is. So now you request. Now you request. What you've been requesting? Is it a possibility that I've been making a good request and an acceptable request, and God been he been okay with me, but it hadn't been the maximum of what he wants? It's an easy prayer. And we have beautiful prayers. I said this last time, but those prayers reach deep into the heart of God, but we use them for shallow things. I put in my phone just a minute ago that we've been trying to, let me say it like I put it down, because I don't want to, we've been trying to have a shallow relationship with a deep God. We've been having deep-rooted prayers and deep revelation and deep the Holy Spirit searches all things, yeah, the deep things. We've been having access to the deep, but we've been living in the shallow. We've been having access to deep things and these deep, important things that God really is concerned about, but we keep it on shallow. So we've been trying to have the shallow relationship with a deep God, and he don't understand that language. He don't understand your goo-goo gaga. You know your baby? You got a baby? You try to do what you can. You know the baby need to get his diaper changed when he use the bathroom. Need to get cleaned up when they use the bathroom, right? And then they whine when they need to be fed. But there ain't going to be no walking around. They're not going to walk. They're not going to do no work to bring nothing into the house. Huh? But you know you got to take care of the baby, though. You got to take care of the baby, right? Because the baby's supposed to grow up and be something. But the baby's not going to bring, it's not going to bring anything into the house. It's not gonna add anything to the. It's not gonna add anything. They're not gonna get up and pray with you. And the baby's not gonna do that. The baby's simply gonna eat, and gonna go to sleep, and gonna use the bathroom, and it's gonna humor you a little bit when you smiling and you saying all the stuff you're saying. And gonna smile, but that's it. So that's how God been doing with us. How long we been babies? Until we grow up into Him. Remember that? Remember that? How long we been babies? So He been cleaning us up, wiping us off. We be using the bathroom on ourselves, and he clean us up and wipe us out, and he feed us. He feed us. He pat us and help us go to sleep. Hey, listen. I need to write some of this down myself. Look. No, I'm not even playing, man. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Because listen, I'm not calling nobody a baby. I'm myself now. Because where am I at in life? I still got this baby money? I still got this baby relationship. I still act like a baby in this relationship. Where am I with God? These prayers go deeper and go further than we letting them go. We keep them on the shallow. We keep them on the shallow end. Because, you know, you go deep in, you got to drown. You go deep in, you got to drown. You got to die. You ain't gonna drown in the shallow because your feet still can touch the floor. In the shallow, you're not gonna drown in the shallow because you still got control over that. You know, no matter even if you're trying to drown yourself, you're underwater, your body's gonna make your feet hit the ground and you're gonna stand up out of that water because your feet still reach. But you go over there on that side where ain't no control. And now you gotta die. Once you get tired of fighting, you get tired of trying to tread water like you won't tread it. Then you'll finally die. You know, be like one that beateth the air, as the Bible talks about that. You're watering with your foot. You're doing a bunch of work on your own, your will. Your will. You're trying to get your will accomplished, right? And that's why you ain't making no progress. You got to die. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It ain't about your will. My mama used to tell me when I was younger, you ain't got no wants. Mama, I want. She look. You ain't got no wants. Yeah. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. All right. Don't be unwise, but understand what is will. So now my prayer, I think we talk too much when we pray. We saying a little bit too much in English. That's why the Holy Ghost is great. Praying the Holy Ghost is great because you're speaking the mysteries, right? You're speaking things you don't know. You know, the personal relationship with God. When I pray in the Holy Ghost, I pray and say, Lord, I receive the mysteries. I pray for a little while and I say, Lord, I receive the mysteries. Like, I want to receive him. Because you're praying the will of God, right? You're praying the unadulterated, you're not in the way, will of God. You're praying the unadulterated, your mind couldn't get in the way if it wanted to, will of God. When you're praying the Holy Ghost. When you're praying in words, and I'm not against praying in words, but when you're praying in words, sometimes your will, can you can breathe your will in there. You can pray the Lord, Our Father prayer and throw your will in there if you don't be careful. The prayer in Ephesians, both prayers in Ephesians, the one in Philippians. We can pray all of those prayers and be breathed. Now, they're all for God's will. They all point towards His will, but sometimes we can breed ourselves in there. We need to understand, our hearts need to grow up. We need to grow up in our hearts. Understand what the will of the Lord is. So now when I'm praying, when I'm approaching His word, you ready for it? Lord, what's your will? What's deeper than that? Lord, what's your will? Now, what's your will for my life? Leave that part off, because it's the same connotation, right? You really get what you're shooting for when you say, Lord, what's your will? You don't really have to add my life in there. Your life ain't yours anyway. What does my life mean? What's my life? Okay. My life. My life. It's not yours. So, Lord, what's your will? Then just start praying in tongues. Then when you approach His word, you start seeing His will jump up off the page. You start seeing Him and what He plans for in His will jump off the page. Now, the reason I don't want you to say, Lord, what's your will for my life? Because that's for you. And then it points towards you. Most times, God's will points outward. All right. God's will, y'all ready with me? Y'all flowing with me? God's will is for others. God's will comes from you, not to you. Are y'all with me now? In Him we live, move, and have our being. It's God was working in you. Huh? Through Christ. I can do all things. Through Christ. All right, so now we're talking about all the through, in Him. Inside. Everybody say inside. The kingdom of God is where? Within you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In earth. Inside. So it's not coming to you. It's coming from you. It's coming through you. So God's will is really pointing outside. It's really not pointing inside. It's really not coming to you. It's coming through you. It's coming from you. So we ain't got to say nothing about my life. But when we start saying my life, it gives us a connotation, and it starts pointing to me. Come on, y'all. It starts pointing to me. And so now we messed up the will. Now it's about us. No. It's not about us. Come on, say it. It's not about us. So now the will is going to come from you. So now, Lord, what's your will? He's going to show you the will. He's going to show you the will, and it's not about you, but you will get blessed from it. Without asking, listen, you'll get blessed from it without having to struggle, but you need to approach this to try to find out His will. You see what I'm saying? Lord, what's your will? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. That's a good prayer, ain't it? All right, come on, not die. Let's not, your kingdom. Let's talking, because you don't say thy today. You don't use the word thy today. What is thy name? You don't say that. You say, what's your name? All right, so let's talk now. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth. Let your will be done inside this earth. That's my prayer. And what's going to happen is, listen to me. What's going to happen is God's will begins to come. Because that's our connection right here with God. Not here. Here. Huh? Okay. So the will, Psalm 37:4. Who know what that say? Anybody know what that say? Don't go there. Anybody know what Psalm 37:4 say? If I start quoting it, you're going to know. Huh? Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. What happens next? He gives his eyes to your heart, right? Delight yourself in the Lord. Now, most people put the likeness of the Lord gives his heart with Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness, all the things to be added, right? They think the same scripture, but it's not. Two different things. Now the first parts go together. The likeness of the Lord, seek first the kingdom. But you get the second part, give you the desires of your heart. Uh-oh. Give you the desires of your heart. Uh-oh. All these things will be added. Well, it seems like it's not adding up. Because the desires of your heart sounds a little stronger than all these things will be added. Right, because it's two different things. When he said he gave desires of your heart, he's not talking about giving you that thing that you want. He'd have said that if he meant that. Delight yourself in the Lord, and I'm going to give you all that stuff. No, he didn't say that. You can have that, but he didn't say that. He said, I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. Do y'all understand what he's saying right there? I don't know if you get what he's saying. He's saying that I'm going to give you your desires. No. Stop thinking. We think too far outside. Stop thinking outside. Stop thinking something coming to you. Stop thinking something coming from the outside. No. From the inside. Let's have inside thought process now. Let's live with God from the inside now. Let's think inner thoughts, all right? So now if I'm thinking inner thoughts, he'll give me the desires of my heart. That means he'll give me what my heart should be desiring. Come on. God will take me, if I delight myself in the Lord, he will, because he doesn't communicate out here with me, he communicates in here with me. So now God is going to go down, where he works through me, he's going to come down inside of there and put the desires that should be there. Sound like his will. Sound like his will to me. Sound like knowing what the will of the righteous of the Lord, he'll give you. He'll not all these things will be added. That's easy. Stop asking for that stuff. You can have it. It's easy. Listen. The reason we use all this power on minor things is because this is what society has forced on us. So we thought all those things was important because that's all we see. What you focus on expands. Your perception becomes your world. No. This is deep. Let's dig deep. The light of the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. And I'll implant desires in your heart. I'll implant my will in your heart. So now his will and my will become the same thing. My will becomes his will becomes my will. We on the same will. Do y'all see that? And all this other stuff is easy. His will be implanted, and I'm telling you, when he implants his will, it's for others. It's for other people. It's for you to take the power is there for others. Luke 4:18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. To preach the covenant sight of the blind. And all that he said, that's for them. That's why the Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Lord is not upon me for me. Now, I get the residue because it's on me. Okay? I get the residue. I get the benefit because it's on me. But it didn't come for me. It came for that. You want to be anointed? I'm asking. You want to be anointed? I'm asking. Do you want to be anointed? Well, change your focus from you to them. God anoints your marriage. He anoints your relationship with you, with your family. He'll anoint everything you touch, the people at the job. He'll anoint that stuff. If you realize that it's not, stop going in talking about me, what I'm going to get. Ain't no power in that. Ain't no power in me. If you had power in you, we'd have done it already, huh? So when I'm approaching. I didn't even get to what I was supposed to get. When I'm approaching to find out what is will. Not my revelation. I'm not looking for a revelation. I'm not looking for my revelation. You know, the revelation is going to be his will. Do y'all get that? Is that making sense to you? Come on, because if it ain't making sense, I ain't teaching. Does it make sense to you? So now my approach is different. You know, and I was supposed to go to the party, and I ain't got time. What time the class in? I was just making sure I'm checking with y'all. Boy, I ain't getting no trouble. Y'all give me trouble. Look. So now when I'm approaching this, there's a chapter in this book, and I started reading it. We'll touch on it a little bit more. I know I ain't going to have time to really get it. Well, let's try. Go to page 71. I'm about to get the reads. Y'all better come on here. And it's 71. It says, read the, y'all heard me say this before. It says, read the Bible as a love letter. Y'all see that? And it talks about you know, and he's talking about a love letter, when he got a love letter. Anybody ever had a love letter before? I don't know. A love letter, or it might be a love email now. You know what I'm saying? Or you get a little text message, a little cute little text message, and you read it over and over again. And you're like, well, I wonder what they meant when they said baby. I wonder, he really calling me boo? Like what, you know, like, you know, we get to read it over and over again. You read it over and over again. Then you go back. You don't tell nobody you read it that many times, but you go read it again. You read it again. You memorize it. Right? That love letter come through and you're reading it all in the hallway. You can't even hear what's going on next. We count the waves. One, because I love your hair. And so you just reading it and you put it down. You put it back on and read it again. You trying to read it while you're on the road. You need to be focused on the road, but you read it. Can't get enough of it. Huh? You read the word like a love letter. That's really what it is. He say, you read it. I like it. He says, guess what I did when one of her letters arrived? Did I mumble? Oh no, another letter from Jean. Sigh. I guess I better read it. Did I sit down and read the first paragraph and then say, well, that's enough for the day. I could check that off my list. Uh-oh. Your study time. Uh-oh. All day of study time, actually. He said, no way with an exclamation mark. You see that? I read every single letter 4 or 5 times. I stand in line waiting to get down on the couch reading the letters there. At night, I read them before I went to bed. I tuck them under the pillow so that if I woke up in the middle of the night, I could pull them out and read them all over again. Why? Because I was in love with the person who wrote them. That's the way to come to the Word of God. That's powerful, y'all. That's the way to come to the Word of God. Read it as though it was His love letter to you. Now stop reading the Word of God. We stop with instructions. Now, inside of love is instructions. Inside of love are instructions, rebuke, reproof, corrections. There's direction. All that is in. It's on the inside of love. But you can't just read it for instructions. Or you just can't read it for correction. No, you got to read it for love. And now everything that comes along with love is in it. God is love, of course. So you got to read it for Him. And all that stuff comes along with it. Now, if you just read the Word of God just for instruction, then you're going to have an instructor and not a lover. If you read it just for correction, then you're going to have a correction officer. Then God is going to be a corrections officer for you. You know how you feel about that. Huh? Lock up, you can't do nothing. Now you're in boot camp. Nah. Don't a lot of church sound like boot camp? A lot of ways in the old school we taught about God, He's going to strike you down. God is not waiting to strike you. God is not waiting to beat you. God is not saying that you're not enough. God is not sitting there trying to test you because you're not good enough for it. God is not running from you. God is not hiding from you neither. God is not trying to get away from you or trying to see if you're worthy of who He is. You already not worthy of who He is. He knew that when He made you. You already not good enough for Him. That's why He sent Jesus, so Jesus can intercede and so He can see Jesus instead of seeing you, because you already not good enough. So clearly He ain't up there having that conversation. God got His arms open like this waiting for you to come. Let us reason together. You know, if you be willing and obedient. You know the scripture says you're willing and obedient. Isaiah 119, you be willing and obedient, you eat the good land. Right, the scripture right before, He said, come, let us reason together. He said, come, just come talk to me. Love, everybody say love. Read it as love letter that it is. And if you approach it in love, you yield more. I put the bottom of my thing, let me keep reading because I don't want to jump. Jump the last paragraph, it says, talking about this guy, how to read a love letter, right? He said, a young man just received his first love letter. He may have read it 3 or 4 times, but he's just beginning. That's how it is with the Word of God. You might have read that chapter, you might have known, you might have memorized it, but it's just the beginning. You ready? To read as accurately as he would like, would require several dictionaries and a good deal of close work with a few experts, etymology and philology, right? It's kind of deep, right? The guy said to read it accurately as he would like, right? But the last line says, however, he will do all right without them. With the etymology and the philology and all the deep stuff, he's going to do all right. Just why? Because love is involved. He's going to read that thing just all right. And I put at the bottom of my page, love breeds interpretation. Love is the key to revelation. Love is the key to His will. All right, now remember what love is. One of the ways you can define love, love is whatever's needed when it's needed, all right? Another way you can find love is love. One of the basic things of love is giving. One of the basic things of love is not self. The opposite, you know, people say the opposite of love is hate. No. Hate ain't a real thing. Hate is just a, it's, no. The opposite of love is self. Self-serving. Because God so loved the world that he gave. As a proof that he loved, that he gave. All right? So now, when I love breathe interpretation. If I approach this in love, just saying, God, what's your will? I'm not looking for me right now. It really ain't about what I want right now, God. That's love. I just want to see you. That's it. Even if you don't give me no instructions, it's good to talk to you. If you don't drop them at the house tomorrow, that's fine. But just being in your presence, just the fact that you thought enough to talk to me is enough for me. Right? Just to be close. The song, just to be close. You remember that song? Is my desire. Yeah. Just to be close. That's it. I understand you can't get close to God without stuff happening to you now. In his presence. Right. It's fullness of joy. Right. The presence is freedom. It's liberty. All those things. You can't get close to him without nothing happening. Peace, all that stuff you want isn't in the presence. But you got to approach it as love. The key to get into his presence is love. You're approaching it in love. So now you the love breeds interpretation. And it says, however, he will do all right without him. So with all the theology and all the different deep things, if you approach in love, it's really simple. This whole thing is really simple. But we made it hard because we thought it was hard. Because how we were doing it wasn't working, so we thought there was something we wasn't doing. Yeah, it was something we wasn't doing. You wasn't making it easy. You know, Jesus wasn't lying when he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know he wasn't lying, right? No, you know he wasn't tripping. He wasn't, because you read the scripture like, man, it's kind of hard right now. If it's hard because you ain't got his burden and you ain't got his yoke. If it's hard for you, it's because you're not approaching God like he did. If it's difficult for you, how did Jesus approach God? Lord, listen, what you want to do? What is it that you got for me to do? That's it. What's all these other prayers we praying? All this other stuff making us struggle. You want this to yield to you? Love is the key. You want this to yield to you? Now I'm talking about your little love smiling and being nice. Stop that stupid stuff. The surface. All right, love is the key, right? So I'm approaching it. God, what's your will for somebody else? What's your will for others, God? And now the most important part of that is his will now. But just what's your will? Not my will, but thy will be done. Listen to me. And we'll read more of that next time, but I found out something, and the apostle been trying to show me this for years now. I guess you got to stumble upon stuff when you're finally paying attention. But I found out something that when you approach in love, and you approach it that way, I'm just approaching because I just want to hear from you. Like it's not really, I don't have no self motive. Like I just approach it because I just want to know your will. You get more revelation than you can handle. It'll almost be overwhelming. Listen to me. You'll get more revelation and more direction and more instruction than you could have asked for. No, listen to me, understand me. You approach that way, you go to God and you're not having a gimme attitude. Gimme, he give you everything. It's hard, revelation is easy. Just go in love. Amen.